I tell my team, you need to manage me. What do you need from me so you can do your best work? My success isn't measured by the tasks I achieve, but it's my team's ability to lead without me.
You're listening to The Stand Up from Monday.com, where we talk to real leaders every episode to get their sharpest insights. I'm so excited to have Joe Frankel with us here on The Stand Up. Joe is an internal communications professional. She's the head of internal communications at Amdocs and is working in communications and helping leaders engage their employees her entire career. I'm so excited to dig in with Joe. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So I'd love to hear a little bit, you know, you've been working in this space for a really, really long time. What are some of the things that you're seeing change right now in terms of communications and how people are speaking to their employees or speaking to each other or getting messages across in an organization?
Okay, that's a really interesting question to start with, because I'm going to totally show my age here. I think about when I started in, certainly in Amdocs, and I've been in Amdocs, and I left and came back, but I've been in Amdocs for the best part of my career. And when I joined Amdocs, I remember one of the key discussions we were having at the beginning was our intranet and if we should allow employees to make comments on articles. So this is pre-social media. So you can imagine how much, you know, when I think about how much we have completely transformed, the whole the way we communicate and the way we connect with each other is completely transformed. So I think that essentially, you know, reflecting the changes that have gone on in the world internally is what the most massive transformation. But with that becomes when we're saturated with information. Mm-hmm. So the ability to get, I think this is a universal concept, but certainly inside the workplace has become harder and harder and harder because we're overloaded with information and noise.
What are some of the strategies you give when you're talking to leaders about engaging their workforces or thinking about how to translate strategy to execution? What are some of those best practices that you found help cut through that noise?
Use words that you use in real life. You know, I think we all went to, you know, the journalistic school of communications.
Right.
We learned this sort of official way to communicate that doesn't exist anymore. I learned years ago when we were kind of like understanding how the internet works that I think information on the internet is written for an eighth grader, and that doesn't matter if you're a professor. This is how people need to consume simple messages, short sentences, don't be vague, and use normal language, real words. Definitely just choose simple, authentic language. Don't make it difficult for people to understand what you're trying to say.
I think that I really resonate with. One of my phrases that I use with my team is tell it to me like I'm five, you know?
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
Really explain it. And then let's move to an eighth grade level. And then that's probably where we need to stay.
Absolutely.
Right?
But if you want to get people's attention, don't make them work hard.
And I think that something, it ties a little bit into, you know, you were talking about authenticity, right? I'd love to hear like what kind of brought you to kind of speaking like that, because I think it's a natural way that people connect with leaders is the authenticity.
I don't know how to be any other way. And, you know, I love writing. I'm passionate about words. And I don't know how not to write, you know, kind of in a very honest, direct, frank way. I've always asked, you know, how do you know if someone's being authentic? And the answer is, well, you just know. You know, you people
right.
have a great radar for BS. And I think that it's also being exposed to, again, the jargon, the blah, blah. People want to connect to real people. And I say this to leaders all the time, you know, especially when it comes to difficult information or difficult news that you need to share with employees. Employees would rather hear the truth, even if it's hard, even if they don't like
100%.
It, than that this kind of vague blah, blah version of it. And I think that's the essence of it. One of the things that was very apparent to me during the pandemic is that one of the biggest causes of burnout during the pandemic was uncertainty. Mm. Is there going to be another lockdown? What's going to happen
right.
next? Not knowing what's happening next. And I've really taken that as a learning for our profession. Our job is to give as much clarity as possible to employees. At the end of the day, you want employees to come to work in the morning, feel good about the place they work, and get their job done. You don't want them to be preoccupied about what's going on and
right.
I've heard a rumor, it's not clear, I don't know what's happening. So I think that this idea of our role as leaders is to give as much clarity as possible, be as clear as possible. And even if you don't have all the information or you don't know yet what's going on, even saying that is being clear and giving a sense of clarity. So I think as corporations grow, they have a tendency and leaders feel comfortable in this sort of vagueness.
Yes.
And this is what
ivory
creates,
tower of vagueness,
yes.
kind of.
And the safety of not being 100% clear what we're
right.
trying to say, because usually you can't find a consensus on management, so they go with a vague option. And that's something that I'm extremely, take a lot of offense to that. And we have an obligation to be as open as we can be.
So one of the things you also speak about, and I think it's very tied to communication, when we talk about women in leadership roles, there's always this discussion of how we should communicate. Should we speak in a certain way? I'd love to hear, like, how have you navigated that? You've grown in your career. You're a strong woman in leadership. What advice do you have?
It goes back to being authentic. And I remember in the early days of my career, I spent some time coaching and doing sort of media training for all different types of leaders, including women leaders. And I remember there was a woman in sales. She was growing in her role and she was a VP. And obviously in sales, she found herself mainly in rooms with loud men. And she said, my boss told me I need some training so I can project my voice and I can speak louder. And I said, no, you need to be you, because it's a bit like a parent. If you're always shouting, your kids aren't hearing you. But when you have a low, slow, calm voice, your voice will be the voice that's heard in the sea of all this noise mm-hmm. and shouting and testosterone. So I think that be authentically you. Mm-hmm. Don't try and be something that you're not. And I think this is true whether you're a man or a woman. Or, you know, it's irrelevant. Own who you are and be comfortable in your skin. Because mm-hmm. If you see leaders trying to be something they're not, again, we go back to this. That doesn't feel sincere. That doesn't feel authentic. I think, you know, women need to own who they are with their femininity, if that's what they lead with. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I don't think it's, you don't have to shout like the boys.
Right. I think that something that I hear a lot from different mm-hmm. women in leadership is, like, it's a superpower mm-hmm. in many ways. Just like mm-hmm. you said, like, you speak calmly and therefore you can get things done mm-hmm. and you can move things forward. And I think it's something that we don't focus on enough. We talk a lot about you need to speak like this or be more aggressive or talk like a man. But really, we should own kind of the spaces that mm-hmm. we're in. As a woman in leadership, you're also dealing with being a working mom. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have children. Mm-hmm. How did you navigate that? You know, I know your children are older. What mm-hmm. does that challenge look like now?
So, first of all, I was very fortunate. Most of my career has been in Amdocs. I had flexibility. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that we all know today that flexibility, you know, we don't measure employees on the hours that they show up right. in the office. We measure them on their output and what they achieve. So I was very fortunate for many, many years to have a very, very supportive team. And I also have a daughter with special needs. So, you know, and I was very open about that. Early on in my career, in the early days, you sort of hid right. the fact that you had a family or that you had personal needs. And I think that one of the things we've learned, I think, from the pandemic is that we have personal lives. You know, we literally 100%. Were in everybody's living rooms. And I think also, you know, us being based in Israel, there's a certain openness that we have in our culture. I think in my organization, mm-hmm. that's expanded via geographies. That when you look at a person as a whole and they're not having to stress about hiding the needs right. that they have for their children or their family life or their personal life, that person is going to be a much more rounded, content employee who's able to deliver. I've always said that one of the things about burnout, it's not the hours you put in. I don't have a problem, you know, working long hours, but it's just being able to manage my life in the way that I need. And if that means that, you know, one of my team has to be out of the office for a few hours in the afternoon, but I know that they'll reconnect later if there's something that needs to be done.
Right.
It's all good. We've learned that today. I didn't have that starting out in my career. And it was a huge point of stress for people like myself.
I think it's really striking how both when we're talking about disinformation and communication, but also in your personal life, it's really about creating focus mm-hmm. for employees and thinking about how do we kind of quiet the other noise so they can focus on what they need to get done. And I'm curious, you know, as leading internal communications at such a big company with a large team, you've got a lot of very ambitious strategic projects that may not always be measurable, may be difficult to kind of get through. How do you kind of weed out the noise and help them focus on what needs to get done?
One of the things that we've learned over the years is that we're not here to serve our leadership. We're here to connect employees. And that means being proactive and not reactive. That means not necessarily doing what the leadership are asking us to do, but mm-hmm. rather solve the communication challenges of the organization. You know, I call it sort of housework to high value work. Mm-hmm. We're not the decoration committee.
Right.
We're not here to write pretty invitations or you know, do nice emails. What we've learned over the years is when our stakeholders come to us and say, I need a video, I need an email, I need a town hall meeting, we now say, let's talk about what the challenge, what is the problem that we're trying to solve? What's the need? So us being proactive and then coming with a set of solutions. So I think that is one of the key things. In the past, we were very much more reactive. We're not here to people please. for a long period of time, our stakeholders were very happy with us because we were doing exactly what we asked them to do. And then there comes a period of friction that we're not necessarily doing what we're asked them to. We're doing what's needed to be done. And that means having difficult conversations. That means challenging sets of expectations. And they're doing things differently. And I think our leaders appreciate that. We're not here to just say, you're doing a great job.
One of the mantras on our team here at Monday is we're not service providers, we're strategic partners. And
absolutely,
so we're going to think about what does that mean? Ask the why.
We're not the ICOM support.
Yes,
we're not
exactly.
a support function. So, yeah, we took a long time learning how to talk about ourselves differently.
Right. One question that's always lingering to me, and I think we've touched on this in a few ways. What are the biggest mistakes you see people make or leaders make around communicating with their employees?
The conception that they've done it, that they've communicated. Did your message land? Was it received? Was it understood?
Right.
How do they feel with this message? That's the nuance.
No, but I think it's a smart point because oftentimes we don't close the loop. And we just assumed that it was understood, well-received. The message that we wanted to land landed when oftentimes you might say one thing and they heard something completely different.
Absolutely. And especially in big organizations, global organizations with different cultures, things can mean different things in different circumstances.
Mm-hmm. We have a section on the show called How I Failed. I'd love you to tell us about a time that you failed.
The sense that we are here to make our stakeholders happy. And when we started to challenge that and challenge our leaders to communicate differently. And it was really quite a lengthy process that I went through with my team. And what we've understood is that our leaders generally don't get feedback. And I said, you know, we can fill this void. You know, we don't need to tell them after every communication interaction or town hall or whatever that they've done a great job. You know, oh, wonderful. Thank you.
I was about to clap.
But this is something that this sort of this sycophantic idea that, you know, we're here just to praise our leaders. And we've earned the most respect from our leadership from the times we said, you know what, I want to give you some feedback. And they're so grateful to hear real feedback. So I think that this pushing our leaders to be uncomfortable and in a sense us having to be uncomfortable ourselves because having to put ourselves in these kind of awkward situations and also understanding that just because these people are more senior than us, because all the time we're interacting with people who are more senior than us, we are experts in our field and we can own that. I won't necessarily call it a failure, but it's a learning about the real value that that we can bring to our leadership. And it took some time to figure that out along the way.
And I think that's something that's so underappreciated about working with executives. Because I remember I had an executive who was like, thank you for not treating me with kid gloves and talking to me like I'm a normal human being.
Right.
And I think that people sometimes forget that they want feedback just as much as you want feedback because they don't get it from anybody
else. They don't get it from anyone. And you know, often you hear, people don't even ask me how I am. It can be a lonely place up there. So treat them like a human being.
Right.
They also want to learn and they also want to do better.
So we have a section where I just kind of ask some rapid fire points. What is your best one sentence piece of advice?
Just be you.
It's totally on brand. I love it. What is your favorite way to unwind?
Oh, I'm a runner. I like to run. I used to be a competitive runner, and today it's just getting outside in nature and listening to podcasts.
Amazing. Coffee or tea?
I'm British.
We don't even need to ask.
Tea all the way.
And then what's one thing that you think everybody gets wrong about being a leader?
That your success isn't measured by what you do. It's measured by what your team achieves.
It's a very smart point. Mm-hmm. We don't think enough about like what does the success of the team mean? How does it interact with you?
Yeah, and your role is to make sure that your team can fly. So I tell my team, you need to manage me. What do you need from me so you can do your best work? My success isn't measured by the task that I achieve, but it's my team's ability to lead without me.
Right.
That's for me is success.
What's a piece of media or a podcast or something that you're reading that you just can't get enough of?
This is like, you know, my guilty,
yes,
my guilty pleasure. This is the sort of question where you really want to come across as really smart and intelligent. And I do listen to some smart stuff. But I have to say my guilty pleasure is true crime podcasts.
Oh, there are a lot of like marketing professionals that listen to true crime podcasts.
Really? You know what I think it is? I love the storytelling. Mm. I love that it's a bit like it's going back to the old days of radio where you would hear radio drama. I'm really curious, especially the British ones, they do it the best. I really love the way these stories unfold. So I think that's...
Love it. And you're a storyteller. So therefore, it's very on brand. Well, Joe, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
If our listeners want to know more about you or hear more from you, what can they do?
Find me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I'm posting almost every day and I love to share whatever's on my mind.
Amazing. In that true authenticity, kind of authentic way. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great and eye-opening interviewing Joe today on The Stand-Up. I learned three lessons that I think any leader can take to their team tomorrow to better improve their communication. First, be authentic. Speak and sound the way that you want to sound or the way that's true to you. Don't necessarily speak in jargon or with overly fluffy sentences. The second is be transparent. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the outcome of the situation. Just say so. Explain to your employees and give them as much transparency into the decision-making process or the change as you can. It helps eliminate uncertainty and gives employees a feeling of control. And the third, close the loop. This is something that was really eye-opening to me. After you communicate something, did you check with your employees? Was this well received? What did you understand from this message? Making sure that employees understand what's the impact of your communication and making sure that they really understood what you were saying is one of the most critical and overlooked aspects of internal communication. I really believe that these three lessons can be implemented by any leader in any team, and I'm going to do so tomorrow.
Our next stand-up is in 2 weeks. Before you go, if you found this episode thought-provoking, consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about our conversation or more takeaways to help with all the leadership roles you play, visit monday.com or sign up for our newsletter. Links are in the show notes. We'll see you at our next stand-up.